So we're continuing to talk about the church. What is the church? The first service, we talked about how the church is part of God's plan, and that this church plant is part of God's plant as well. This is His plan. This is all according to His plan, and He is the one who makes it grow. Last week, we talked about how so the church is the followers of Jesus, right? We follow the One. We follow the Son of God. And today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, has anyone ever asked you, because of your actions or character, hey, are you Christian? How did they know? Right? Or have you ever met a person who was so rude, so vulgar, but later found out that he or she is a Christian? And even worse, that person was a pastor. Like, oh my goodness. Right? Like you see this car like honking behind you, and then they pass by you, and then you see on the back, right, that little fish logo. It's like, oh, right? Or have you met a person who was so good that you can't help but ask, hey, are you a Christian? So I had a privilege of meeting a spirit-filled young man at McDonald's here at Guilford. Like, if you guys go out, right, you'll see that, you know, McDonald's there on 152. But if you look at the reviews of that place, it's not one of the best McDonald's out there, right? Certainly not a place where you think to meet a Christian. But surprisingly, it's not that hard to meet a Christian there. I remember that there's this elderly man who comes in regularly with a cup of coffee and just a Bible, just reads the Bible with coffee. That's all he does. And I actually met him in different McDonald's too, doing the same thing. There was another middle-aged Asian man who always stands and works in the same spot all the time, right? And sometimes with like a t-shirt with like a Christian message. I think it's in Chinese, but I can see that it's Christian because like there's a lamb and cross and stuff, right? I think he's a pastor, but I haven't asked him, so I'm not sure. And a lot of other Christians, especially Korean elderly who go there to have fellowship, right? They go there to have meetings, and even I go there to sometimes prepare sermons and have Bible studies. But this young man was on the other side of the counter, right? He was one of the employees there. And if you search up this McDonald's on Google, you see it has a lot of one-star reviews. But out of the five-star reviews, you will find this young man. His name is Cedric, a young man from a country called Burundi in East Africa. And I have permission to share this story with you. And his service was so good and courteous, and he was humorous, right? He was very uplifting. But more than that, he was overflowing with joy and kindness as he served. And usually I don't write reviews for people, but I just had to leave something for this young man, because I wanted someone like him to be in a leadership position to amplify his positive influence. Eventually, he became the guest experience leader. And in this picture, he even met the president and CEO of McDonald's. That's the CEO right now, right? I didn't ask him if he was a Christian in that moment, but to my delight, I found out that he was a Christian, and I just had to connect with them, message him. So I got to contact him on Instagram, and this is what he said in his message. He said, I want to see God's love shining everywhere, every day, and I am so happy that I was able to be His vessel. And it wasn't just me. He had a positive influence on many others, right? In those reviews, there are people saying, you know, I had a terrible time, right? Like there's grief in the family, and this young man just uplifted me and encouraged me. And there's many more like that. We are encouraged by stories of Christians having a positive influence in the world, like Cedric's story here. And we're also disappointed when we hear stories of people who are rude to others and find out that they're Christians. What is the distinguishing factor here, do you think? I believe the answer is the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want to share with you about the Holy Spirit, who He is, why we need Him, how do we receive Him, and what does He do? So here's a big idea for you today for kids, right? So in your handout, you can fill this out. But that is that the Holy Spirit helps us to glorify Jesus. You may not know what that word means yet, but He helps us to glorify Jesus. Now, to introduce the Holy Spirit, we have to talk about the Pentecost again. And kids, you watched the video, so now I'm pretty sure you understand, right? Now, Pentecost, according to Albert Mohler, he considers Pentecost as third most important event in the redemptive history among creation, death and resurrection, and lastly, Pentecost. Okay? These three major events in God's history, right? Pentecost is among those three. And I agree with that statement. And I would also like to add that it aligns with God's movement into our lives. See, during creation, God creates a universe where God and his creation can dwell together, right? He created us to spend eternity with us in a loving relationship. Then sin entered the world, and we lost that. And then comes Jesus, the second person of Trinity, right? He decided to dwell with us in person, in flesh, by coming as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? He's the Emmanuel, God with us. And through his death and resurrection, he redeemed us from sin so that we now have a way to be together with him. And then comes the Holy Spirit. As a third person of the Trinity, he now dwells in us, right? So it's like this, right? God is up there, and we're always trying to see his presence as, like, you know, in the Old Testament, at the pillars of cloud, pillars of fire. And then Jesus comes, right? As person whom we can eat with and talk with. And now there's a Holy Spirit who is in us, lives inside us, right? There's more and more intimacy coming from God. He's the one who comes into our lives. And the birth of the church happened on this dramatic day. So let me read again what happened on Pentecost, just verses 1 to 4 here. It said, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Sudden appearance of a sound like a violent wind, right? It's not the actual violent wind, like a storm happened inside the room, right? They heard a sound like that. And then they saw what looked like divided tongues of fire, right? And then they started speaking languages that were foreign. These are all very dramatic, right? It catches attention. It's an unforgettable experience. That's because it's a life-changing experience. And all births are like that, right? I think each birth is special. Not only because, you know, it's the birth of a new life, but we each have a story that leads up to it. So for example, when Abby was born, Joanna went through 30 hours of labor, right? It was very difficult to simplify, and just at that point, painkillers just weren't working. And there was a point during labor where even Abby's heart rate was falling, right? It was like an emergency situation, right? We almost had to do an emergency C-section, right? Doctors were going, right? But when she was born out of that difficult situation, right, there was this, what I can only describe as a tsunami wave of emotions swelling up inside, right? It was a life-changing moment. But that's what makes it more special. It's already special, but those times, those experiences makes it more special. And the church was born out of an uncertain time in the midst of persecution, right, with a dramatic event, and it was life-changing, right? It was a history-changing moment. The Pentecost is when new life began, the new life of the church. And when God's Spirit entered them, the presence of God entered them, and they received new life. And this is all according to God's plan. You see, the Holy Spirit is the promised helper, right? The super helper that Jesus had told his disciples. Jesus says this in John, right? John chapter 14, verse 16 says, "And I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." This word "another" means one like before, right? Just like the one before who's Jesus here, right? God's going to send another helper just like him. And after Jesus leaves him by ascending, right, the Holy Spirit will come and do what Jesus had been doing. But Jesus says that this is better because now the presence of God will always be with them wherever they go. And now on Pentecost, that promise had been fulfilled. And the disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit because that was the requirement of a church. You see, a church cannot be a church unless it has the Holy Spirit. John Stott puts it this way. He said, there can be no life without the life giver, no understanding without the spirit of truth, no fellowship without the unity of the spirit, no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, and no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the spirit is dead. Much like how we cannot do anything without breathing, the church cannot do what it's supposed to do without the Holy Spirit. I mean, sure, it looks like a church can do things, that a Christian can do things without the Holy Spirit, right? Much like how a person's holding a breath underwater, right? They can still move around, they can still swim, they're still alive, but eventually they'll pass out and die, right? As John Stott just said, the church without the Spirit is dead. So a church is a Spirit-filled believers, right? A gathering of Spirit-filled believers who join God's plan to redeem this world. Now the question is, how do we receive him? In the latter part of Acts 2, which we haven't read today, Peter gives a powerful sermon on what the Pentecost means. And near the end, this is what he tells a crowd. Sorry, I didn't have that verse there, but let me read it for you. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. See, when we repent of our old ways, right, our life without God, and be baptized, that is, receive Jesus as Lord, right, and claim it publicly, then God promises us that we will receive the Holy Spirit. And this is for anyone. In the section where Peter, you know, tells of the prophecy that the prophet Joel told, right, it basically says, man and woman, young and old, slave or free, will be filled with the Spirit. Even you, little kids, can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, what that means is that regardless of who you are or what kind of past you've had, God can fill you with the Spirit. But unless you repent and receive Jesus, this won't work. Now, some of you might be wondering what that video, what that image was about. But here's a little illustration for you guys, right? It's a bottle. It has ink inside, right? And it's closed. And this may seem obvious to you guys, but unless you open the cap, right, nothing can leave and nothing can enter, right? I know it's not the most dramatic video, but I couldn't do that here with the faucet, so I just wanted to show you guys. Right, kids, question. Can you get anything out of that bottle right now? No, why? Right, it's a simple truth, right? Because it's not open. And that's what repentance is like. It's opening the cap. What you're doing by opening is you're admitting that there's stuff inside you that's not good. It's a coincidence, but you know, the bottle says pure life. And what you have inside doesn't look like pure life. And that's what repentance is like. You're admitting that first. In the book of Revelation, Jesus speaks to the church of Laodicea these words. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. What that means is, unless you open the door of your heart to Christ, right, so that the Holy Spirit can enter, you cannot have this intimacy. You cannot have a growing life. You cannot have transformation. Right, this message was to a church, but they were not living to the fullest as Christians because they haven't let Jesus into their lives. This is what life with and without the Holy Spirit is like. Only when we open up to him by believing in him can we have the Holy Spirit fill our lives. That's why we must open ourselves to the Holy Spirit by believing in Jesus so that he can work in our lives. Meaning we must entrust our lives to him. So what does he do? Just like the big idea that we saw, right? John chapter 16, verse 14 says, he, right, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Again, the main goal of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus, is to make his name known for what it's worth. Now, the word glory, we've heard of it, we kind of use it, right? But it's kind of hard to fully understand what it means. In Hebrew, the word glory is kavod, It's a word that has many meanings, such as importance, glory, honor, majesty. But really, the crude meaning of it is weight, right? And heaviness. To glorify Jesus means to show his true weight, to show his true value, his true worth. When Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John on the mountain, they got to see Jesus' glory. They got to see the true Jesus, his true worth, who he really is. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus known, really known, through the believers. And one way the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus is by helping us grow. I shared last week that this is also Sunflower Church's mission, to glorify Christ by making growing Christians. And it's based on what the Holy Spirit does in believers. In this sense, we at Sunflower join Paul's mission as well. He says this in Colossians, right? Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's our mission. We help Christians grow to become mature, meaning complete, perfect in Christ. And this is the Holy Spirit's mission. Because nothing shows the power of Christ like showing transformed lives. And what does it mean to grow as Christians? Now again, kids, I want to ask you guys a question. What does it mean to grow? Are you guys growing? Uh-huh. What does it mean to grow? How do you know you're growing? On your birthdays? Okay. Your brain grows every time you learn something? Oh, I guess I stopped learning. Right? I mean, you grow, right? You grow physically. You become stronger, meaning you're able to do more things, right? When you're a little kid, mommy and daddy probably will be like, oh, you got to wait until you're a little older to do this, right? But when you're older, right, a certain age, we're saying, okay, you can help us. You're able to do more. You grow in knowledge. You grow in wisdom. You grow in maturity. And as you grow, you notice something too. And that is, you start to look more and more like your parents, whether you like it or not. Okay, it's just DNA, it's just genetics, okay? Same thing for Christians. And the Holy Spirit enables that. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit helps us grow in order to glorify Jesus is by helping us see spiritual truths. Again, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, right? The natural person, meaning a person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. What that means is, in other words, when you have the Holy Spirit, you start to understand the things of God. Now, I have something that you guys can all do on the screen here. What do you see? Huh? Okay. Paint? Those look like leaves, but what do you see?
A green leaf.
Okay, a green leaf, right? That looks like the focus of it. Let me give you a hint. Can you see the snake? Until that point, you're like, there's a snake, right? Can you see the snake? I'll give you guys 10 seconds to look for the snake. Bam, right? Okay, let me give you another hint. It's somewhere there. Oh. Let me make it clear for you guys. That's the snake there. Can you see it now? Yeah? And that's... There's a point to this, okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does, right? Until then, the Bible might look like just like, oh, I see a bunch of words, right? Until the Holy Spirit pinpoints to what you should see, the truth that's in there. Let me explain, right? I don't know about you, but I really dislike reading the early parts of the Old Testament, right? Genesis and Exodus are exciting, yes. But once you get to Leviticus, the third book, that's when things feel dry, right? And some of you relate to this. It's January, and some of you have a New Year's resolution of reading through the Bible from the beginning, and you're already like, okay, I know Leviticus is coming around February or March, and you're already dreading that, right? And I relate. I was like that. But recently, after really going deep into the meaning and significance of the gospel, Leviticus comes differently to me now. That's because after learning more about Christ and what he did and how he was foretold since the beginning and how his saving grace works, I got to see it in Leviticus too. I saw it in Genesis, I saw it in Exodus, and even in Leviticus and every single book out there in the Bible. There's so much hidden gem in there. And the Holy Spirit helps by pointing to where to find Jesus, just like here, right? Giving us hints. There's Jesus in here, guys. There's Jesus in Leviticus. You can find him. Here's where you should look, right? And that's because the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He knows its meaning the best. And that's why when you read the Bible for yourself, you pray to God to reveal the truths to you. And when you read the Bible without the Holy Spirit, it just becomes information. But when the Holy Spirit helps you understand the truth, that's when transformation begins. Again, it's going from head information to heart transformation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Let him change you. See what happened to Peter as well, right? You guys saw in the video how Peter boldly started, proclaiming about God. But, you know his story. God revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Son of God. And you may remember that Jesus, complimented him, commended him, saying, good, right? God revealed the truth to you. But in the same chapter of that Bible, right? In the same chapter, you go down, and there's this part where Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan, right? One, he gets a compliment, and then he's like, get behind me, Satan. He gets called Satan. And later on, he denies Jesus 3 times, right? And now, in this story, we see him in Acts 2 boldly preaching about God's promised Spirit. He even interprets what was said through Prophet Joel and tells them that now is the time when God's promise is being fulfilled through Jesus. How does that work? Now, Peter wasn't perfect, as we saw, right? It's not like God filled him with the Holy Spirit and now he's perfect. No, Peter still wasn't perfect. But the process of being perfected has begun in him. In the letter to the Galatians, Paul recalls the story of him opposing Peter, right? Paul actually wrote this story in a letter, right? Saying, when Cephas, that's Peter, okay, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, the Jews, right, who didn't believe in Jesus, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with them, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, Peter, before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? You see, Peter, even after being told by the Holy Spirit to serve the Gentiles, to minister and share the gospel with the Gentiles, still acted in ways contrary to being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Peter messed up. But this Peter at the end of his life was bold enough to say that he did not deserve to die in the same way his Lord Jesus did. So the traditions say that he died upside down on the cross. You see, when we look at ourselves, we still find faults. I find faults in myself every day. And that can be frustrating. And even Apostle Paul knows this. That's why he says, for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. This is every morning struggle for some of us, right? Every time, I do not want to press that snooze button, but I do. I mean, but we're talking about spiritual things here too, right? But here's my encouragement to you. It takes time. We're not complete yet. We are a work in progress. Now, let me show you one more video. It's the second part of the bottle video. But now you may notice that the cap is open. Okay? Here's the thing, guys. That's us. That represents us. All that's in us, right? The dirty things, sin. We can't get it out. Right? There's nothing that we can do to change that. Only from the outside cannot change. And this is what it's like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just watch this video for a second, okay? And try to notice something, right? Can you guys see how that's coming out, that dirty water? Yeah? Can you see how it's still dirty inside after that water is going in? Right? This actually took like a whole minute, and then I guess a staff member at that rec center thought it was weird for the water to keep running, so he came in like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just doing a little experiment for kids. And you'll notice I pause here for a second because I have to talk to him. But look what happens. I mean, after all that time, it's still kind of purple. It's still not clear. Would you drink that? No. And here he's gone, so now I continue, right? And I still, like, this took a whole minute. It's a small bottle. It's not even a big bottle. It's a small bottle, and it takes a whole minute to clear it out. It takes time. We will never be completely clean from our sins while we are on earth. But that day is coming when Jesus returns. Until then, we must keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit loves to fill us. In fact, the verb fill in the passage that we read, right, has a notion of filling to the full, to fill completely. God loves to fill us with His Holy Spirit. To do that, we must keep on reading God's words, the Bible, and keep on praying. And that is, we must abide in Jesus. Now, let me read this. Kind of lengthy, but let me read that for you guys there, okay? This is Jesus, right, during the Last Supper, telling his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You see, when Jesus' commands, his words dwell in us as we meditate, memorize, and remember and keep it, they transform us. Again, the Bible is the inspired word of the Holy Spirit. You must eat God's word to receive its nutrients. Right? If your body needs calcium, you're not going to get it by drinking apple juice, right? It's not a great source of calcium because we have to drink something like milk or eat things like spinach because that's where calcium is. That's how you receive needed nutrients. And if you guys keep eating Happy Meals, you're not going to be very happy eventually, okay? You need the nutrients. If you want the Holy Spirit, you have to eat God's words. Ask the Holy Spirit to open up your eyes so that you can see the truth. And that is how you'll be filled and how you'll grow. And pray. Pray always. As you pray, you are placing yourself in God's presence. Think about that, right? A lot of us have a harder time praying. Even I will admit, I have an easier time preaching here than praying on my own. Because praying puts yourself in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, you're not going to like yourself because you see that he's great and you're not. But that's what we have to do. You, to be precise, as you pray, you're becoming more aware of God's ever-present presence. And that is why we are told to pray unceasingly, without stopping, so that we are always aware of God's presence in us. And how do you do that? For some of us, something that you can do is just write little prayers on sticky notes. It doesn't have to be spontaneous. You can read prayers. Stick it on front of your desk. Stick it, on your toilet, right? In the washroom mirror. Wherever you go, just read it, right? Or if you're doing some sort of activity, right? If you're like drinking water, right? Just say a quick water prayer inside your head, right? God, you know, fill me with your Holy Spirit once again. As you're cleaning, say, you know, cleanse my sins. Relate every activity with prayer and how God does that inside your life. When you abide like that, you will bear fruit. And fruit takes time. But the fruit you bear will be worth it. If the gospel is a seed, then the transformed life is a fruit. One way this is expressed is through the fruit of the Spirit. Right. And if you guys memorize those nine things there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice, this is one fruit. It says the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, saying, oh, I have love and joy, but I don't have peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. I'm working on that. I'm waiting for those fruits to bear. No, it's one fruit. You don't get parts of it. It's a whole package deal. That's because this is what Jesus was like. The fruit we bear is that we become more like Jesus. Just like how we grow up to look more like our parents, when we grow in the Spirit, we grow up to be like Jesus. Now, there's a story of a missionary that went to a remote country to share the gospel. But when they arrived in the small village and met the locals, right, they were met with a surprise. Because that's because when the missionaries began to tell the locals about Jesus, they told the missionaries that they knew Jesus and that he was living in their village. Just like you, they were pretty surprised as well. How can they know Jesus, right? They thought this was unreached, you know, village. How can they know Jesus, and how can they say that Jesus is here in this village? So the missionaries followed the locals to this house, and they found a foreigner living there. And they learned that this foreigner was actually a missionary. But this missionary had so embodied the character of Christ that the locals already experienced what it was like to see Jesus. So when the missionaries told about Jesus and how he healed and how he's compassionate and merciful and gives grace and is generous, all that, they're like, oh yeah, he's here. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do. Again, the Holy Spirit doesn't use special people to do special things. He uses those who are filled by the Spirit, those who open their caps, so to speak, those who are receptive to the Spirit. And that's why this is for everyone and anyone. God loves to use the weak to work powerfully. God loves to use the small to do great things. Just like how he got that small lunch of a boy, right? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to feed thousands. And just like how Jesus got these 12 disciples to spread the gospel, and now a third of the world, a third of the population profess Jesus as their Lord. He can and will use you to glorify Jesus. So I say to you this morning, be filled with the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you this morning again. Ask him every day. Ask and you will receive, Jesus promised. And you will be his witnesses, glorifying God alongside the Holy Spirit, who is here to help us, guide us, and help us grow like Christ. That is why Jesus came. That is why Jesus died. That is why Jesus rose again. And that is why Jesus went to heaven first, so that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit and be like him as well. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you once again for giving us the Holy Spirit, this helper, Lord God, so that we may glorify you as your Son Christ Jesus did. Lord, we thank you once again for helping us realize that we are weak, we're not perfect, we're full of faults, we're full of sin, yet you fill us. You fill us every day. So Lord, help us to grow to be like you so that we may glorify you wherever we go. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.